Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. And we have arrived at our second installment of the Advent of Christ this morning. So to let you know, we will be piggybacking off last week's sermon from Bruce and slightly overlapping for next week's sermon as well. I do pray, however, that we'll be able to get a good grasp or a good handle on these sermons so that we're able to see our Lord's perfected work through time and history and how they connect to the final work, which we will arrive one day to see our Lord Jesus Christ. So this week we will concentrate on the promise of an offspring through the line of Abram. And so let us begin. Let us begin with our text. So today we're in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. Genesis 12. 1 to 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families on the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I will give you this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In a world full of instability and chaos, on the brink of death, destruction, and total annihilation, there is hope. A hope that is forged in one family's history throughout the descendants of time to lead to a single event. An event that is inevitable, unable to be thwarted or stopped, that would bring this family line's hope and consequently salvation to a people by the birth of an offspring. A son, and ultimately a savior, arriving at an appointed time in a critical moment for one purpose. And that purpose is to give the world a second chance. A second chance that can only come through this son that is not bound but free. You may have heard of him. His name is Cal, son of Jor of the house of El. To the people of earth, he will be an outcast. But according to the father, Jor El, he will be to them a god. Now this son, also known as the Man of Steel, or more commonly known as Superman, was destined to be sent to Earth through the protagonist and enemy Zod and all his attempts that could not stop the father's plan, Jor-El. Superman, even at birth, was beyond anyone's reach or attempts to fulfill the father's plan. And so, this son would arrive safely to Earth. Though he is just a baby, he would be the savior of the world. And this is where I believe we find ourselves this morning, beloved, in our text. That God's promise, as we will see, is fulfilled through the birth of an offspring. God's only begotten son, a savior that was destined to fulfill the father's plan, which had been in place before the foundation of the world and even before time began. Not even the likes of the cunning serpent, as we heard last week, in all his attempts could stop the Father's plan. Though this serpent would bring a curse upon one man, Adam, as we heard in Bruce's sermon last week, God's plan, his promise he gave to Eve through an offspring, would bring a second chance, a freedom from Satan, sin and death. God's purpose to fulfill his own promise is so sure that he does it with his own eternal life. And what a promise that is. That he would reveal himself again to Abram and his wife Sarai as the creator of life itself. He guarantees his plan, his promise with his life as the author and creator of life. But before we carry on any further, please allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence, O Lord, that we can boldly come into your presence through your Son, Jesus Christ. The Father, that you continue to appropriate your word to us, O Lord, by revealing these applications in our lives that we may walk, that we may walk in a manner that is worthy and pleasing in your sight, Lord, to come and to worship you, to bow down to you and whom is in control of every single molecule, that there is nothing that is out of place, nor is there anything out of your control, Father. And so as we come to understand that and appropriate that, Lord, may you help us to live our lives according to your promise, your will, your plan, and your purpose. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how many times have you been let down by someone who promised you something? I bet you can't remember. It's as if there are no guarantees in this life, no trust, and therefore no faith. Or is there? When Abram was approached by Yahweh in our text, God spoke to him and he listened with the understanding of who it was that was speaking to him. The authority of all creation bringing him into his presence would have been an awe-inspiring, life-changing event. And so this is where we begin. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And so it could have only been life-changing to turn Abram's previous life of serving a foreign moon god to then pack up and leave behind his country, the land that he was so familiar with. A prosperous land of Ur where there was no need for God, since the moon god was the chief deity in this land. To then leave the people in whom were his fellow citizens who lived in the era of Babylonia. And finally, leaving the direct leadership of his father's house, in whom he now must take charge and lead, with the guiding hand of God, whom he now trusts. All in all, there were 8 generations since Noah, in whom walked with God, to Terah, Abram's father, which had somewhere along the generations lost their way with God. But God did not in any way forget his promise to Adam and Eve, the offspring that would bring hope amidst the curse that surrounded the rest of the earth. Rather, God's white-knuckle grip upon Abram would draw him from those cursed to familiarize himself with the God of his ancestors and the blessings of the hope that follows. Verse 2, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." So the blessing that is from God is not only in direct opposition to the curse back in Genesis 3:16 that we heard last week, but it is a blessing that will be intergenerational, passing through the direct line of the seed that will establish a nation. And the nation that would come back to God that was previously lost. by the God in whom would establish a people through the promise made to Abram. A name which God would establish and bless, so that the blessing from God to Abram would be passed on to those who are from God. And how do we know those whom are from God? Well, let's go back to verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God's redemptive plan may have arrived, yet there are people, families that are still being blessed according to his promise. But only those who are in acknowledgement of the blessing that is received from God through Abram shall be blessed. And this includes their families. God will extend the blessing to not only be limited to Abram's family, but to the extent, to the reach of a world of families. From one man shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And it is God who will choose Abram to do so. Yet the curse still remains upon the descendants of the unrelenting serpent. Those whom are in direct conflict to the plan, the will, and the promise of God. Yet Yahweh will still be the one to directly enforce the promise of a land, of a nation, of a name that he will bless, to bring hope to a people amidst an evil and foreign land. But did you notice the direct involvement of God to remove Abram from his previous land, his previous kindred, his previous house, to a newly inherited promised land, nation, and name? So if we go back to verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. His previous country is no longer his familiar land. His kindred is no longer his nation. And his father's house, in whom he represented, is now tied to the God in whom will not only bless him and the families that come from him, but he will no longer be remembered as Abram, the son of Terah, whom previously worshipped the moon god. But he will be known as Abram, the one who will be the father of all nations, by the God in whom will bring hope in the form of a blessing. In fact, that's why God would later change his name from Abram to Abraham, as a sign, meaning father of a nation, to ensure and later confirm God's fulfillment in his promise he made to Abram. And so here's our first observation. God's promise will bring a blessing. God's promise will bring a blessing. After Abram receives the promise and the blessing from God, in whom will carry out his redemptive plan, Abram will now leave his old life behind and lead his family to live a new one, a new life that would faithfully place their hope in God, to step out and follow him. And to follow him involves an obedient action, to go as instructed, and God will be with them, even at the old age of 75. And so let's go back to the text. Verse 4. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And so Abram went. He went in direct response to God to step out and follow him wherever instructed to go. And so we too, beloved, we too have an inherited promise given to Abram to be a part of a new family, a family of a people who are blessed by God, to leave our old life behind and to live a new one, a newly transformed life that will follow God, to go out to the land and be a blessing by giving those who are still under the curse a hope in the form of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As God has clearly shown Abram, we are blessed to be a blessing. And the God of Abram will be with us also. He will be with you always. As we see in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Did you see that, beloved? We who are blessed by God are to go and be a blessing. We are to go to extend the blessing to all nations and remember who is with you, that God is always with you during and even afterwards, even to the end of the age, to the end when Christ will appear again. And speaking of which, he is also the long-awaited offspring in our text. So verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Did you notice a repetition here? The repetition of the appearing of the Lord. It's at the beginning and at the end. The Lord appeared to Abram who had appeared to him. It's significant because that's the way that we come to understand how the repetition gives us emphasis on what God is saying here. He revealed himself to Abram, not just his voice. Not that we can understand how he did it, but that he did while he spoke these words. To your offspring I will give this land. In Galatians 3:16 it says, now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. We can no longer assume, but are fully aware of the emphasis that God has placed upon Abram. He appears, reveals the Son of God, the promised offspring, and then builds an altar to God, because God reveals himself through the offspring, that is his son, the one who would be the hope in which Abram and all the descendants as vast as the sea would come to acknowledge and know. A moment where Abram experienced a theophany, that God the Father would reveal his glory while speaking about his son, the offspring that is Christ. What does one do when they see the glory of God? Well, they build an altar. For they have seen his glory, the glory that also resides in the Son. For he is the King of glory, the long-awaited one. To the offspring I will give this land, the promised land. And the term that was first coined, the promised land, that we hear so often, comes right from here. And so here's our second observation. God's promise will secure a land. God's promise will secure a land. And so we come to understand that God's promise of a land is twofold. though Abram has travelled very far to be right in the heart of the promised land, his family still live in tents, sojourning amidst a foreign people still living in the land. And also a land where he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God, of a city that is a heavenly one. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And so this promised land is a city designed and built by God in the heavens. This was the promised land that Abram would see. And it is here that we too are sojourners of that same promise. Abram's clear vision of God's call and the future removed him from the world. Just as it will remove us, beloved, from grounding ourselves too deeply in the present. I know it's countercultural, and that's the point. It's countercultural to a world that believes in the security of wealth and possessions and the hedging of funds for a retirement plan. Our natural desire is for more comforts in this life, when the focus is to be on the God who delivered the promise through his offspring. Because his promise is as good the day he revealed himself and spoke to Abram as it is for us today. God's promise is never void to those who believe and place their hope and trust in him. And here's our last observation. God's promise will promote true worship. God's promise will promote true worship. So verse 8. Genesis 12, 8 and 9. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Abram would build an altar and call upon Yahweh. A perfect and befitting response that turns the focus away from himself, Abram, in whom God would make his name great earlier on in the text, and concentrate his efforts on the God whom would deliver him and a nation from the brink of despair, to call upon the God of his salvation. Unlike the people who built the Tower of Babel in the previous chapter, chapter 11, who would do so to make a name for themselves. So Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. God would disperse the people and confuse their language because they had forgotten the Lord and chose to worship themselves and not the Creator. Whereas Abram's response, the correct response to God is, Abram building a place to worship. To worship God and call upon Him and acknowledge His plans and purpose through a promise of a land, a people and an offspring that is Christ Himself, who is our promised King. Let me ask you, how much more focus and attention do we give to our Lord? Are we thoughtful in our plan in life to build God a temple where He may reside in and dwell with us? A temple where we call upon the name of the Lord daily, to worship Him as the only source and means we have as a second chance at life? Or are we too busy building our own Babel temples here on earth to make a name for ourselves? You see, when we think of the season we call Christmas, we look to the incarnation of the one who is fully man and fully God, condescending into His own creation, not just as a baby, but as the fulfillment of a promise of salvation delivered by Yahweh. You see, we worship Him and acknowledge Him and His handiwork that has made its way through the tapestry of time to arrive to a people, the families upon the earth who would be blessed by God through Abram. The families of the earth who have no physical direct line to Abram, but yet by faith in the promised offspring, Jesus Christ, we are recognized as children of God, children of the same promise of the Father of all nations. And where we see that more clearly is in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, verse 26 to 29. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. And I hope you heard that, because there's our hope. Not only is Christ the promised offspring, but you, beloved, you are Abraham's offspring through our faith in Jesus Christ. Heirs according to promise. A promise that redeems even the Gentile nation who were destined to die according to the original curse. And if we go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. And so just as in one man would all the families of the earth be blessed, in another man, that is Jesus, who removed the curse from us, will then bless us with the promised Holy Spirit. That God would dwell within us, beloved, by His Son, through His Spirit. And it's all according to Yahweh's plan. It's according to His plan, His promise, and His purpose. The Son fulfills these three, knowing that there is no other outcome, because the Lord backs up His original promise and delivers it through His Son. A hope that continues to live in us today. And so when the man of steel, Superman, was killed by the doomsday creature, that was not the end. Rather, he defeated death by being resurrected just in time to rescue the world again from certain death. Though the Father saw no other outcome other than his son's success and his plan to bring hope to a world surrounded in chaos and fear, the Son also believed in his Father in succeeding in fulfilling his plan. And as Abram continued to journey, as he continued in his journey beyond the Negev with God, in search of his destination, he would eventually come to know God more and more as he walked with him. His life may not have reflected God perfectly, but God's purpose to fulfill his promise would continue to deliver him time and time again. Let us therefore make our journey with God one step at a time, beloved, in the pursuit of our final destination. We may fall or even stumble from time to time, but our need for God will increase the more we walk with him. Because we must continue to realize how privileged we are, beloved. The Father would even consider us sinners to then call us to himself according to his will. So let us continue the journey with him, reflecting the image of Christ, that we may worship him as Lord of our life. And in time, we will see the perfect promise offspring, the Savior of our souls, Jesus Christ. Amen. Allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your inerrant, infallible, and eternal word, that you continue to work in us and through us by your Son, Jesus Christ. That by your Spirit, as we continue to walk with you, may you reveal more of yourself. And so that, Father, we might rightfully apply that which you have given us. That to be a blessing, we must also bless. For how else, O Lord, can your glory continue to shine throughout this world? May you continue to bless your people, Providence, so that they may be a blessing to the watching world. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.